wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, come Holy Spirit. God, when we're in this place in the world right now where there seems to be so much divisiveness over who we're voting for, over what coffee chain we like, God, over what's going on in the greater world. God, let us be people who are led by our faith, and let our faith produce transformation in the world, healing in the world. Let our faith push us to stand up for what's important. God, let our faith lead to kindness and love. So come, Holy Spirit, this morning, speak through me. Give us ears to hear what you want us to hear. Open our minds to understanding. Lord, help me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever listen to a TED Talk? TEDx Talk? I love TED Talks because they're short, right? They're fast. That's about what I can handle. And I was listening to this TEDx Talk recently by this guy named John Sutherland. He's an officer in London's police department. And he was ultimately talking about relationships and how we live in relationship with each other. But he was talking about this principle called Licard's Exchange. And this was developed by a guy named Dr. Edmond Licard, who's known as the Sherlock Holmes of France. And this principle says that every single time a criminal walks into a space, they leave something. Now, they may think they're being very, very careful. They might leave, the most common thing is fingerprints, but they could leave hair, they could leave footprints, they could leave something in the ground, but they leave something. That every time someone steps into a crime scene, they leave a piece of them, they leave some sort of impact. And he linked this to relationships. He said, the truth is, many of us, if we have jobs, many of us, if we go out into the world, many of us, if we go to the grocery store, we interact with lots of people every single day. And everywhere we go, we leave some sort of impact. We leave something. Now, that impact can be positive or that impact can be negative. But everywhere we go, we leave a little piece of ourselves, a little piece of something. So I'm planning this message this week as we're thinking about this. And this video was shared with me. And I want you to see this video that shows how true this is. Isn't it great to see that kids can actually lead us in this sort of world of kindness and grace and leaving these great impacts on other people? The truth is, friends, whatever you do, you leave an impact. The question is, what will that impact be? We're in the third week of this series right now calling Desperate. And I've had to do some work in my own self to turn that word desperate into a positive word. Because desperate, when people tell you you're desperate, it's not usually positive. But what if we were so desperate to bring healing to the world? What if we were so desperate to share kindness? What if we were desperate for every single person to know they were loved? How would that change what we do? How would that change our interactions with everybody? If we were so desperate for people to know they were loved, we would spend less time telling them what's wrong with them and more time telling them what's right with them. Amen? If that's what we were desperate about, if we were so desperate for people to feel the love of Christ, we would be willing to do anything in the world to help them experience it. Anything. we'd be willing to give any time, any financial resources, anything, if we were truly desperate for it. So how have we dealt with this in this series? The first week we talked about being desperate to follow the rules, right? So often people come in and they sit down with me and they're like, I just want to do it right. Tell me exactly what God wants for me. And I'm like, oh, friend, it's pretty simple. Love people. Love God and love people. And they say, yeah, but what else? That's it. There it is. Love God with all of who you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's following the rules. And then last week we talked about alignment. We said one of the biggest challenges with the church today and why people are frustrated with the church is that people come in and they pray all these things and they do all these things and they go out and live a life that doesn't leave a positive impact on people, that doesn't bring transformation. So we talked about alignment and how we get to alignment. And today I want to sort of crescendo this. This isn't the last week. We're going to have another week next week. But I want to crescendo this with being desperate for impact. What does that look like to be desperate to leave that positive impact on the world? Most people that I interact with in my life, most people want to have some sort of positive impact on the world. Most people do. Raise your hand if you'd like to leave this world better than you came into it. Okay? Oh, we got a real excited one right here. That's right. Bob thought I was pointing at him. It's not you, Bob. Bob's just like, I got it, right? But we want this really big impact on the world. We all want to transform the world. So one of my things is, and I just tell people this, and you can judge me all you want, but I love to listen to country music, right? And I was telling somebody this morning, I said, one of the reasons I love country music is because it tells a story. And you've got a story. And one of the radio stations that I listen to 98.7 in my 0.5 mile drive to work, you know, so I get a lot in. But often, the Bobby Bones show, it's a pretty positive show. That's why I kind of like that radio show. But often, I'll be in the car when they hit the tell me something good section. And tell me something good, if you've never heard it, maybe Bobby Bones, hey Bobby, I'll shout out to Bobby Bones here. I want to encourage you to go and try to find some of the stories, because what they do is they go and look for the good in the world. They look for those good moments, those good stories. They go and they look for those powerful moments where someone has done something really good, and they're not looking for celebrities. They're looking for regular people like you and me, and they go and find the stories and they share them, and I love those stories. Why? Because that's the business that we're in the church. We're in the business of transformation. We're in the business of helping people understand that they are loved. We're in the business of raising up good, because good begets good. Good begets more good. If you do good for somebody, I can tell you what, if you hold the door for somebody going into Starbucks, they're going to likely do something better that day for somebody else. If you say a kind word to your barista, they're going to likely be kinder to someone else. Do you know what bad begets? Bad. Right? If you're nasty to people, they're going to feel that. That's going to get them. So why, if we're all people, we all raised our hand, why, if we're all people that say, I want impact, I believe in impact, I believe in transformation, why do some of us struggle with it? Here's the first reason I think some of us struggle with impact. It's fear. Sometimes fear holds us back. We are afraid that if we do something bold that might have big impact, we might be judged by others. Right? We sometimes go into our closet in the morning to pick our clothes out, and we want to wear a shirt that has a big impact. Right? I bought one. I actually just got rid of it. I never wore it. I bought this shirt, big impact, lots of colors going on. Right? And we're afraid. We sit there and our fear tells us, if I go to work and I wear this shirt, people are going to say things about me. If I walk out in public, people might think differently about me. Our fear often holds us back. So that's the first thing. Here's the second thing that often holds us back from making a big impact. It's time. I'd love to do that thing, but I don't have time. I'd love to go. Right now, people think getting people out to vote is a really important thing. I would agree. I think getting people to vote is a great thing. And there are lots of people who say, I want to help people get out to vote. And I say, what are you doing about it? How are you getting, well, I don't have time. Well, do you really want to help people get out to vote? Or I want to make a difference in the hunger situation in our community. What are you doing about it? Oh, well, I don't have time to do anything. See, we take our time and we use it on other things. You know what I've had time to do? I've had time to watch the whole series of The Lincoln Lawyer since it came out on Thursday. But I had time to do that, but I don't have time. I don't have time to make a big impact, right? I got time to watch a 10-hour Netflix movie that they call a show, but I don't have time to make an impact. You see what I'm saying? We do have time. We just use our time in different ways. So fear, time. These are real reasons. These are absolutely real reasons that we struggle with making an impact. I want to give us a third reason today, because I think this is another reason that we struggle with making an impact. Often, in order to make a real impact, we have to be generous people. Often, in order to make a big impact, we have to give in big ways to something. Often, in order to transform something, we have to become generous people. I think most of us want to be more generous than we are, and most of us are challenged by it. Why? Because we don't plan for it. Because we think all of a sudden, one day, we're just going to be real generous people. All of a sudden, I'm going to wake up and look at my bank account, and it's going to have an extra zero on it, and that day, I'm going to be able to be generous. I never planned for it, but the bank made a mistake, so let me just give it all away. One day I'm going to win that lottery. Do you know how generous I've been by thinking about how much lottery I'm going to win? Anybody else? Oh, if I win, Lord, I'm going to give 10% away. I don't play very often, but my point is to say generosity is something that really is transformative, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. How do we become more generous people that can impact the world in bigger ways? We're going to go to the book of Acts this morning, and Acts is the story of the early church. Acts is attributed, the writing, to the writer of the gospel according to Luke. And he's a medical person, so you're going to get a lot of details in this book, and it's going to tell the story of the early church and how the early church flourished and how the early church grew. It's important to note that in this time, that the early church was struggling because, they thought Jesus was going to come back right away. So they were already feeling like Jesus had not come back as fast as they wanted him to. And then enters this guy into the picture, a guy named Paul. A guy who had formerly been a Jew that was persecuting all of these new followers of Jesus. And I want you to hear this story as Paul talks to a group of people that he's had a major impact on. These are the leaders of the church that Paul started in Ephesus, and they're really important to him. So let's look. It's a little bit of a long passage, but I want you to see the wholeness of this story from Luke chapter 20. It says, from Miletus he sent a message to Ephesus, calling for the church's elders or the church's leaders to meet him. When they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived among you the whole time I was with you, beginning with the first day I arrived in the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of trials that came upon me because of the Jews' schemes. You know I held back, nothing that would be helpful so that I could proclaim to you and teach you both publicly and privately in your homes. You know I've testified to both Jews and Greeks that they must change their hearts and lives as they turn to God and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know what'll happen to me there. What I do know is that the Holy Spirit testifies to me from city to city that prisons and troubles await me. But nothing, not even my life, is more important than my completing my mission. This is nothing other than the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify about the good news of God's grace. I know that none of you will see me again. You among whom I traveled and proclaimed the kingdom. Therefore today I testify to you that I am not responsible for anyone's fate. I haven't avoided proclaiming the entire plan of God to you. Watch yourselves, the whole flock in which the Holy Spirit has placed you as supervisors to shepherd God's church, which he obtained with the death of his own son. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you and won't spare the flock. Some of your own people will distort the word in order to lure followers after them. Stay alert. Remember that for 3 years, I constantly and tearfully warned each one of you. I never stopped warning you. Now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all whom God has made holy. I haven't craved another silver, gold, or clothing. You yourselves know that I have provided for my own needs and for those of my companions with my own hands. In everything I've shown you, that by working hard, we must help the weak. In the way we remember the Lord Jesus' words, it is more blessed to give than to receive. After he said these things, he knelt down with all of them to pray. They cried uncontrollably as everyone embraced and kissed Paul. They were especially grieved by his statement that they would never see him again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. I mean, y'all, this is a beautiful goodbye. This is Paul's way of telling these people in a heartfelt way, I have loved you. I have given you everything I have, and yet I love you so deeply, and I have poured into you so deeply. God is calling me to make an impact elsewhere, an additional impact. God is calling me, and there is nothing that will deter me from living into God's calling of impact. That's what Paul is saying. I mean, this is a guy that's literally changing people's lives. And he shares his grief. And I think that's really important for a leader to do. He shares his grief. He says, I serve the Lord with great humility, with tears in the midst of trials that came upon me because of the Jews' schemes. You know, I held nothing back nothing that would be helpful so that I could proclaim to you and teach you both publicly and privately in your homes. Now, there's an important note here. Paul himself had been a Jew. He's not talking about all the Jews. Remember, he's talking to Jews and Gentiles in this moment, Jews and non-Jews. What he's saying in this moment is that the Jewish leaders or the Pharisees have been fighting him and pushing amongst him the whole time. And they've been trying to trap him just like they were doing with Jesus. And he says, I've been pushing against those schemes the whole time. Paul was desperate for an impact. He was desperate for his life to matter, but more than that, he was desperate for people to hear the good news about Jesus. He was willing to do anything, including prison and beyond. He wanted other people to feel that desperation as well. Now let's fast forward. Let's get to the end. What he says in verses 35 and on, in everything I have shown you that by working hard, we must help the weak. In this way, we remember the Lord Jesus' words, it is more blessed to give than to receive. After he said these things, he knelt down with all of them to pray. They cried uncontrollably as everyone embraced and kissed Paul. They were especially grieved by his statement that they would never see him again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. The last thing he says to them in his time of impact is, remember what Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. See, what Paul knew was that that was a challenge for these new people who were calling themselves followers of Jesus. That was an issue. Paul knows that's a big challenge for them. And after he said it to them, after he said, you need to be more generous, you need to give more, did people get up and run out? Did they get mad at him? No, they knelt down to pray. They knelt down right where they were with Paul and they said, let's pray. Let's let God do what God does and let us get out of the way. Let's kneel down together. They prayed. So here's the deal, friends. We all know we live in a world where generosity makes things happen. Generosity brings transformation to people's lives. I have never met a person, and I truly mean this, I have never met a person who came into my office and said, Pastor Tim, I got to figure out a way to be less generous. I got to figure out a way to give less because I am just too generous. If nothing else, people come into my office and they say, I want to be more generous, but I don't know how. I want to give you a couple of tips this morning. Here's the first thing. Create a budget. Really do it. Really create a budget. Really sit down. Really plan. And I've said this to people before. When my wife and I first got married, we were super young. I mean, she was super young. I was a little bit older, but we were super young. And she said to me, honey, we're going to tithe to our church. We're going to give 10%. And I said, you don't even understand how we can do that. She's laughing because she knows this is true. I said, you don't even understand how we can do that. And she said, I don't care. It's what we're going to do. You know, when we made nothing, it was a lot easier to do that than had we started now. But But it's my wife's push to say, let's make a budget, let's sit down, let's look at it. And truthfully, when we do our estimate to the church each year, she says to me, is that what we committed to doing? And I said, it is, or I say, we're doing more. And she says, that's great. That's a big part. Create a budget, plan, think about it. Think about how you're going to do it. Here's the second thing. We have to live simply. We have to live simply. The truth is, I have a lot of clothing in my closet that is still good. I don't need a lot of new clothing. The truth is, I love my kids and I want to give them every single thing they ask for, and yet they don't need every single thing they ask for. The truth is, I would much rather go out to a restaurant than cook dinner. Really. But if I cook dinner, I'm living more simply. That's what I mean. Live simply. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to your life. Look at how you live simply. And here's the last thing I want to tell you this morning. Set a generosity goal. Sit down. And I'm not saying, you know what, you'll go into some churches and they'll say that every single person should be giving a tithe. The truth is, here's the reality. I know that that is not possible for every single person. Because I know you live in Northern Virginia and rent is expensive. I know that mortgage is expensive. I know that having children is expensive. We had 3 kids in 2 years. It's really expensive. I get all of that. But set a generosity goal. What does that look like to be generous? What does it look like to give? You know how exciting it is for us at the end of the year when we see that we met our generosity goal? Think about that. One of the ways I want to encourage you to do that over this next week, inside of your worship guide, there's a card. And if you're part of this church, you received a letter this past week with this in it. It's also online. There's lots of different ways you can do it. I want to encourage you to prayerfully think about this over the next week. I want to encourage you to come back to church next week. Bring it with you. Next week, we're going to have a huge celebration. We're going to celebrate all that God has done in this church over the last year. We're going to celebrate your generosity because we're going to talk about the theological concept of celebration. What does that look like to celebrate? How do we do that? And I want all of us to come and celebrate with our generosity, with our cards for 2025. What does that look like? And you may be saying, Pastor Tim, I've never given anything to a church. Take a step. You may say, Pastor Tim, we give X to the church. Take that step. But do it knowing that your generosity is making an impact. Friends, I have served now. I've worked in 4 or 5 different churches in different capacities. And I truly say this, and this is not to disparage any church I've ever served. I have never been a part of a church that is doing more transformation in the world than this church. You see these coats sitting up here on these tables? Those represent kids and adults who would be cold without you this winter. You see that? You're helping them not be cold. There are a bunch of boots out there. That represents folks who are unhoused, who wouldn't have boots in the winter, but you're changing their lives. That's one example that's sitting here in the front. There are tons of examples of how you're transforming the world. The impact that you're making collectively, we can make a huge impact. So after worship next week, we're gonna have a big celebration in here. After worship, everything's going to be pumpkin because I know we're running out of time, right, for all the pumpkin things. So everything's going to be pumpkin, and we're going to celebrate. And we're going to celebrate your generosity over this last year and the ways that it's transformed. We have this little thing we do here where when we bring our cards forward, people dance, people sing. It's a lot of fun, and we do that because it is not a chore to be generous to God. It is not simply I check the box, I'm generous. It is a gift and a joy to be able to be generous. Friends, you make an impact. You transform the world. And I am desperate and grateful to be part of a church that does that. You don't know how excited I am when I get to tell my friends about all that God is doing here. You don't know how grateful I am to be part of a church that without question says, whose life can we transform? Thank you for being a church that's about impact. Thank you for being a person that's about impact. This week you may decide, hey, we're gonna fill out a card and that's great. You may also decide you're gonna do what that person did in the video and you're gonna write a note to somebody that just says you're amazing and leave it on their desk. You may decide that whatever interaction you're gonna have this week, you're gonna do your best to leave a positive impact. You wanna change the world, that's how we do it. Because I want to tell you something real clearly. November whatever is not going to change the world. We're not going to end that Tuesday. First of all, we're not going to know anything. But we're not going to end that Tuesday with going, all is right again with the world. You know what's going to change the world? You. You people giving all of who you are, loving people as deeply as you can love, being as generous as you can be, that's what's going to transform the world. When Paul is talking to that church in Ephesus, when he's telling those leaders how much he loves them, I feel kindred in that moment because I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for the ways that you put yourself out there so that other people's lives can be changed.